Constable Greg Bowie of the RCMP. It's another Y95 traffic stop. How you doing today, Greg?
Oh, doing good. Weather's fantastic out there right now, so no complaints.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to going camping now.
It is a very fun activity and something that my family and I have enjoyed for many years as well. And I believe we had a question about that. I don't know if you have the question in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to answer it there for you.
Yeah, so the question was that this person has a camper van, asking if it's okay to have alcohol in the fridge of that camper van or stored in the vehicle while driving.
Yeah, now, without knowing exactly the type of vehicle, I'm going to assume by that question it's like an RV or a motorhome versus like a pull-behind trailer. A pull-behind obviously is not part of your vehicle, so you can put it wherever in there while you're towing it. Your RV, where you're driving and part of that vehicle, you're allowed to transport your alcohol as long as it can't be within reach of the driver or the passenger of the motorhome. Right in the Liquor Control Act, it does state that the liquor is kept in a location that is not readily accessible to a person occupying the driver's seat or the passenger. So as long as they can't access it, so if it's back on a bed or in the fridge or somewhere back that the driver and the passenger can't access it while they're moving, then it's totally legal.
All right. Which, I mean, that one's good to know, heading out to camping. I've had friends of mine, you know, oh, yeah, just put it in the back seat. That's fine. Yeah. Nope.
No, exactly. Nope. So with the motorhomes, that's what it states on the motorhomes. As for vehicles, basically the easiest way is if you're going to purchase alcohol and you're transporting, for example, from the liquor store to your home or wherever, put it where you can't access it, which is the trunk of a vehicle. If you're driving a truck, put it in the bed of the truck. And if it's in a SUV or a car, just put it in the back trunk area there, so it's not accessible by any passengers or the driver. It's the easiest way.
As that weather gets warmer, I know I've seen a lot of nicer cars out there myself. I'm looking forward to getting my car, and I know you're already doing a few things with your own. Stunting is something no doubt you might have seen more of already this year.
Yeah, it's like, as yourself, I'm a car enthusiast myself, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a point where, you know, obviously there's a limit and also safety, and what we're talking about is the stunting charge, and that takes it to a whole new level. There's several different classifications of what stunting could be. The majority of people would know it or relate to it would be driving over the speed limit by 51 kilometers an hour or higher. And there's other, like I said, other areas of offenses that would classify as stunting. Some are, for example, doing a wheelie or driving, doing donuts or circles in a parking lot or on the road. That would be considered stunting. Driving, some of them are, I've never heard of, but they must have happened because it's in the Highway Traffic Act. You can't be driving with a person in the trunk of a vehicle. That is considered stunting. You can't drive from anywhere other than the designated driver's seat. So I'm not sure how you would drive from another seat, but you can't drive from other than the designated driver's seat.
I mean, Mr. Bean pulled it off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if Mr. Bean can do it, then it can be done. And as well as the common term, there's a few definitions here that breaks it down, and I won't get into it on the air, but basically it's road rage. If you're jamming your brakes on somebody or you're cutting them off or any type of road rage, that is considered stunting as well. And with stunting, so if you're any of those offenses, it carries a steep penalty. It's a little over $2,400 for a ticket, 6 demerit points on your license, an immediate 7-day suspension of your license roadside, and an immediate impoundment of your vehicle for 7 days. So that gets quite costly on insurance and on your wallet. So
one of the definitions there of stunting is also even just driving without using your hands. You have to have both hands on the wheel. I mean, even with those self-driving cars nowadays, they tell you, in fact, they won't let you drive by yourself without having those hands on the wheel now.
Yeah.
Which is good, but yeah, if you're one of those, oh, I can drive with my knees, you know, exactly. It's not your hands.
Exactly. It comes down to lack of due care and attention. So if you're driving, that putting, you know, the general public at risk, A steering wheel is meant for your hands, and you're driving with your, you know, between your two legs and steering that way. That's not how you drive a car. That's not how you're taught in driver's ed. So, obviously drive defensive for the general public. You don't know what's going to happen or pop out in front of you, and you got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, look, Ma, no hands is cute on a bike, not so much in the car.
It might look good, but it might also cost you $2,400 to look good. So
Or more.
So it might not be worth that risk. I wouldn't recommend it.
Now, another topic we've been looking into is the new body cameras at the detachment here in Yarmouth, as well as Digby, have been trialing.
Yeah, the RCMP across the country have been phasing in our new body cameras. They've been on trial for the last couple of years, and Yarmouth has been fortunate, as well as Digby. Our traffic services department, which I'm in Yarmouth, and the detachment in Digby were part of the trial cross country. They picked different areas of the country to try these body cameras to ensure they would work nationwide, where the RCMP is a federal national police force that has to work cross country, not just in one city. And they were tested for various, like here it could be for the dampness or lots of rain exposure to out west with the dry conditions. There was detachments up north that tried them, say, in the Northwest Territories that would be exposed to extreme cold to see how the battery would last in minus 50 degrees versus, you know, plus 5. So they tried it for a couple years with different sections and areas. We finalized on a vendor, which is Axon, which is what we're using, and they've been phased in since the fall across the country at several detachments at a time, bringing them online with the body cameras. And I believe now all of Nova Scotia is up and going, to my knowledge. So it's a great, fantastic tool. And so if anybody sees the police officers around town with them, it's it'll be showing green, and if it's red, it's recording, so that you'll know if you see it. If you're wondering if it's recording at that time, it's like anything. Red is means you're on air, kind of. You're recording.
All right, just like the red light outside.
Exactly. So you see red, it's recording, and if it's green, it's just it's in like the standby mode.
And it's for everyone's protection, of course, too. Not just the people, but yours as well, of course, Greg.
Absolutely. It's for accountability for the general public, for police, with a lot of events that have gone on recently, both in Canada and the U.S. It's for accountability of the police, but also accountability of the public, and showing more of the full story of different events from the moment we arrive on scene to the conclusion of the investigation, like, at the scene. So and it comes very handy for court purposes or any public complaints, or just in general for investigational purposes.
Well, thanks for joining us again. It's great having you in, and you know, learning more than just a thing or two each time you're in here.
Oh, not a problem. I love coming in. So if anybody out there has questions for mainly traffic service questions and about the traffic laws of the road, impaired driving, feel free to send them in to your station there.